It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. I'm Kyle Madsen. James Hamm is gone. James Hamm has left the building. We printed out rundowns so we could do the program today, and we forgot to get them. So James was out getting them, and now he's here. We are back. Not unlike the Sacramento Kings, who sweep their three-game homestand. In fact, that's going to be our Jiffy Lube teamwork keyword of the day. We're just getting it out of the way early today.
All right.
Sweep. Enter that word at ESPN1320.com in the Jiffy Lube contest page, and you'll be entered to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie, the one James is wearing today. You can win that. If you want to see what that looks like, if you're listening on the radio, tap in at youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320, and you can see that. You can enter to win one of those again at ESPN1320.com with the code word SWEEP, because that's what the Kings did on their three-game homestand. They took care of business. They beat the Houston Rockets. They take care of business against the Wizards. They take care of business against the Warriors last night, 123-117, and now they hit the road.
I think the best term that you use here is they took care of business.
That's it.
Like, those are all, okay, so the Rockets are a very difficult team, but the other two are not. And you have to take care of business against bad teams, because good teams are on their way. Yep. Denver, New York, Minnesota, OKC, there are good teams on the horizon here. And if you don't take care of business at home before you head out on a six-game road trip, you're setting yourself up for disaster. Well,
and if you entered last night at 30 and 12, is that right? 42, 30, 12, yeah. If you entered last night at 30 and 12, any slip up, nah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff happens. But because of that hole they put themselves in at 13 and 19 to start the year, you can't lose that game last night. And man, it really looked like they were going to. I texted you after the first quarter and I was like, this is a weird start. That's a weird start.
Oh, yeah.
Golden State hit everything they threw at the basket, and the Kings didn't, and it's tied, but it felt like the energy did not feel, it felt very Bucks-ish.
Mm-hmm.
The Warriors just weren't good enough to pull away early the way the Bucks did, and I said, I can't remember if I said this to you, but my thought was, okay, well, second quarter, they'll foot on the gas, they're awake now, they'll put this one away, and they'll win this one by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went down by 18.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no. Like, what? But on the other hand, again, because I still follow the Warriors as closely as I can, I also know that Golden State has tricked every lead they've had this year, whether they end up winning the game or not. Like, that was going to be a one-possession game at some point. But it wasn't that it got to one possession. It was how quickly it happened that was super impressive. It was like the Kings came out after halftime and went, all right, Let's be serious here.
Well, did the Kings do that, or did DeMar DeRozan do that? Because it felt like DeMar DeRozan said, you know what, I don't like what's happening, and this makes me feel uncomfortable and icky, and I'm done with this feeling, and I'm just going to backpack this entire team.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 19 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, like just the late three.
Along.
Yeah, just like he was so spectacular in that quarter. And, like, overall, like, you could see him start to run out of gas, and you're like, oh, okay, someone else has to take over.
Sure.
And you started to get players taken over. You got to a little bit of Malik Monk. De'Aaron Fox couldn't buy a bucket at all, but he got to the free throw line and hit all of his free throws. So there were these little moments where you're like, okay, this thing is not going well. Deep in the third, in the fourth quarter, the Kings' biggest lead in the game was 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
When they took the lead in the... Was it late third or early fourth? They took the lead, and it was their first lead since like 11:36 of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Well, they took a lead and then they gave up like an 8-0 run.
Yes. Like immediately.
It was a 9-0. It was 3 threes in a row.
Yeah, 2 from Buddy and 1 from Moses Moody.
Yeah, in the span of like 40 seconds, it was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
They may not be okay in this game. And there were multiple times during that game where it's like, oh, I don't know if they're going to pull this one out.
Yeah.
But then again, like you watch their defense rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
I think Doug did some interesting things. He tried his zone for a little bit. That was kind of weird, but You're going to need a zone against the Denver Nuggets.
Got to have different looks. Yep.
Yeah. It, especially you're going to need a zone because, again, you're playing on the second night of a back-to-back. You had to go full tilt against the Warriors. Mm-hmm. So everyone had to play major minutes. Yep. And on top of that, you know, we talked about it a couple of times. You're talking about a three-hour flight last night. They land. And it's so cold in Denver, it's ridiculous. You have to worry about the hour drive to from the airport to your hotel, but also icy roads and everything else. There's an hour time change. Then you're playing at elevation. Like, you're going to need a zone tonight because the Denver Nuggets require that, mm-hmm. but also because you're going to be gassed.
Yep.
And I don't know who can step up and help this team, but it sure does feel like the five or six guys to play, well, the six guys to play mm-hmm. the majority of the minutes. And what else?
That's right. And that's where I don't want to take the conversation back into the depth conversation yeah. we always have, but you said it about DeRozan, who played 39 minutes last night, by the way. The Kings won by, was it six?
120, yeah, 123. 26. But yeah,
so they won by six. DeMar DeRozan ran a plus 26.
Oof.
Kevin Herter was a minus 10 in 6 minutes.
It was not a good 6 minutes either.
But anyways, one of the things that jumped out to me last night, and I think this is something that Kenny and D'Lo and Casey has been trying to get across.
Mm-hmm.
In a world full of 3-point shooting teams, you have to hoist threes. You have to be able to get threes up. That's just imperative. But I don't think... That doesn't mean the value of the 2-point shot has gone away. And you saw it last night, and this the contrasting styles between how the Warriors play and how the Kings climb back into that game was so, so stark. Because Golden State's offense is a work for a three. Everything that's happening, every blender they're trying to run through, every pass they make, every screen they make is trying to get an open corner three. Or an open three above the break.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everything their offense is predicated on. They need a bucket late in that game. All right, where's the open three? And there's so much that that's such a volatile way to play offense. Because, yeah, hey, maybe you knock down a bunch, but also maybe you go through a stretch where, what, they start 2-for-11 in the second half?
Yeah.
Maybe you're 2-for-11, and then maybe you're also turning it over. So those are you put up 13 shots, you make three of them, and you've turned the ball over a bunch of times, and now all of a sudden your 18-point lead is nothing because the opposing team, now this is where the contrast in style comes in, it's DeMar DeRozan, mid-range jumper. It's De'Aaron Fox getting to the rack. It's Malik Monk getting to the rack. It's Domantas Sabonis getting to the hoop mm-hmm. or getting an offensive rebound and going up with the putback. Their ability to go, okay, here's this run. We're going to stop it with a 2-pointer and get to the line. Oh, and then we're going to get a turnover. Oh, and then we're going back to the free throw line. We've slowed the game down. We're just chipping away. Hey, the 18-point lead is now 16. Oh, and there's a 3-point play. Now it's 13. Oh, they turned it over. Oh, hey, hit a three. Now it's 10. Oh, got another two. Okay, now it's 8. That ability to just chip away is unbelievably invaluable. And I know that so, if you ask Doug Christie, he'd probably tell you, yeah, 33s is not enough. You need to shoot more than that. Mm-hmm. They got outscored by 33 points
from behind
the three-point line.
Wild.
If the Warriors, we were talking about it before the show, if the Warriors are 25% better, the Kings get blown out last night.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a formula conducive to winning necessarily, but in a game like last night, because you got to play who's in front of you, the style that the Kings play is the reason that they won that game. That ability to just get 2 points, get a stop, get a bucket is massive. And on the Warriors side, you saw it. It was, our 18-point lead is down to 8. We need a 3. Who's going to hit it?
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Well, I'm looking at some of the like standard stats. Like the Warriors made 43 buckets mm-hmm. and the Kings made 41. The Warriors hit 22 threes. The Kings hit 11.
Mm-hmm.
So already you're looking at a negative, 35-point deficit, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's big. Like, how do you make that up?
But then at the free throw line?
Yeah, that's
the Warriors
where you make
only
up.
Shot 13 free throws last night.
Yep.
And that's not an officiating thing. That's a play style thing.
Of course.
They live on the perimeter, and that's why you're not going to get a lot of free throws. In fact, Andrew Wiggins shot 5 of them. 3 of them came because he got fouled on a 3.
Mm.
Like, that's just kind of where they're going to live. They go 9 points from the free throw line. The Kings got 30.
They make up
21 points right there.
Yeah, they go 30 of 32 from the line. You know, we talked about that. Like
so
last year, the Kings lost 5 games on the season at least, mm-hmm. just on free throw shooting alone. This year, they're finding ways to win on free throw shooting. And it's something like in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. they are absolutely nails.
Yep.
Like watching them go step to the line is like, okay, you're not even like panicking.
Last year it used to be like De'Aaron last night got to the line, they were up 2.
Mm-hmm.
And De'Aaron goes to the free throw line. And last year, you don't feel good about that.
No.
You're going, God, make one. Just make it a 3-point game. And he just goes calmly cashes 2.
Yeah.
Didn't even hit the rim. It's such a huge deal. And I know free throws are free throws. Like nobody enjoys watching free throws, but they're key down the stretch.
Yeah, and now the Kings are. I mean, they were first in the league in free throw percentage.
Still be there.
They're second at 81.3%.
Who's shooting better than 81.3% as a team?
That's a good question. I don't know. I just know that that's what, like.
I'm looking.
Okay.
I need to know who this magical team is.
That's shooting better than
81% from the free throw line as a team. That's crazy.
It's funny. You also brought up the 2-pointers, right?
Oklahoma City, 82.8.
There we go.
Of course.
The Kings are third in the league in 2-point makes, 6 and 2-point attempts,
mm-hmm.
and 8 and 2-point percentage. This team does shoot a lot of twos. You know, you're trying to get that 3-point percentage up. You're trying to get the mm-hmm. 3-point, like your attempts up, but at the end of the day, the Kings are still like kind of grinding, and they haven't got there yet.
But I think that's okay if you're.
Yeah.
Doug has talked a lot about this, and Doug, like we're best friends. Doug Christie, the head coach, has talked a lot about this, where they're trying to establish that identity, and if that's your identity, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to be a grinded out team on offense, which. They're not always going to be, but that's where the game falls sometimes. You just have to be able to match that defensively, and I think they do. You have to have that same toughness and that same grit on the defensive end where you're not giving up a bunch of threes and trading it for twos, which is what we saw early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think whatever their identity is, they're finding it pretty quickly here. The other thing that jumps out statistically, you were mentioning, you know, the Kings get outscored by 33 at the 3-point line, and the Warriors had 19 turnovers, and the Kings had 8.
Oh, yeah.
That is 8 turnovers in an NBA game is massive.
That's something that they...
That's a big deal to not... Like, that's not a... That's a very small number. Having 8 turnovers is massive in a good, way.
Yeah, totally. They're averaging 13 turnovers a game, which is 4th best in the league. It's one of the things that's quietly happened. Number one, the free throw shooting. Number mm-hmm. two... the lack of turnovers, and it's almost every game. You know, we had that stretch early in the season where you remember Sabonis turned the ball over like 35 times
yeah,
in
it was
5
weird.
Games.
Yeah.
And it was like, what is happening? And they've cleaned that up, a lot of it. So even Malik Monk, you know, has moments, you know, including last night where he dunked the ball through the rim, it bounced off the top of his head and went back through the rim and he didn't get the points. That was not a good look, but
that's an insane thing to have happen.
There's the little mistakes that were made. Like the Kings were able to overcome those, and that's because they're sticking together and they're figuring mm-hmm. out ways to fight through. And again, I hat tip to DeMar DeRozan last night. I thought he was one of those catalyst guys that just like yep. said, "Hey, look, we're not doing this. I'm 35 years old. I can't keep putting up with this." And we're going to win this game. And I think if there's one thing I would say, the Kings' identity that's developing is a team that is gritty and finds different ways to win.
Yep.
And it's not always the same thing.
Yep.
It's not we're going to beat you by 25. It's not we're going to hit a bunch of threes. It's not we're going to be a defensive like juggernaut. It's that we're going to figure out whatever way it is tonight to win, mm-hmm. and that's what we're going to do.
It's that adaptability.
Yeah.
Yep. Drew Down pointed this out in the Chatty House. And I just wanted to confirm it, and I have 28-0 in fast break points.
Oh, wow.
For the Kings. 28-0. They give up 0 fast break points.
Mm.
The Warriors had 2 fast break opportunities. The Kings had 10, and they turned them into 28 points.
Wow. I'd also point
out... Also, 27 points off of the Warriors' 19 turnovers. Golden State got 16 points off the Kings' 8 turnovers.
Yeah. Those are big numbers.
Yep.
That's how you close a gap. And I'm sure points in the paint, the Kings dominated the points in the paint.
They did not.
Oh, really?
Stunningly. They won it by 2.
Oh, that's crazy.
44 to 42.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to tell you that like this is like a benchmark win and all that stuff. It's just it's a solid in an 82-game season.
Win.
It's just one of 82 in the win column.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those games where, like, if you lose it, it would have had a lot more than if you beat that team. Because everyone kind of knows where the Warriors are right now. And, you know, I think, again, De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, this is 5 years ago. We're like, holy crap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What a win.
Yeah, even 3 years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was the other thing that jumped out. That's professional radio by you. 3 years. So I want to talk about this as well, because we literally talked about this yesterday before the game when discussing trade possibilities, or mm-hmm. a couple days ago, whenever we talked about this. And my whole thing was, why are you worried about a pick in 2028 or 2029 if you're the Kings? Mm-hmm. If you have an opportunity to deal that pick today to give yourself a better chance to compete for a conference championship appearance or a finals appearance now, why would you not? Why would you not get as high as, raise your ceiling as high as humanly possible now? And you kind of made the point, like, sure, but also, like, 3 years is a long time. Four years, a lot, like, a lot can change. And I think you have to look no further than Golden State. This is a team that, like we just said, good win.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose to that team for sure, especially before going on the road to play Denver on the second night of a back-to-back, and then two nights later going to New York to play the Knicks, like two really quality teams.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to end your homestand with a loss to a team that's banged up, struggling, just everything that you can be, everything you can have go wrong in a season. Golden State's had go wrong for a month and a half.
Well, that, and if you lose that game, you're potentially looking at the possibility of a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah, where you're now back under 500.
Yeah.
Yeah, back under 500.
Yeah.
Ugh.
No, it would be tough.
Sideways. Yep. Right. So you need to win last night. Good win. Comeback is great. But Golden State won a title 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It feels like 10.
Yeah.
And so, like, you just look at how much is, when you look at their roster, it's Steph was on that team, Andrew Wiggins is on that team, Gary Payton II, Kevon Looney, Draymond Green. But then, like, Moses Moody was there, but not super contributing.
Well, I think that's the other layer I would like to, like,
nobody who came off the bench last night
put in here
contributed for Golden State in their last title run.
Well, and I get what your point is, that like if there's a draft pick that you have to trade down the road, go ahead and do it, because it's about getting better today, mm-hmm. and about worrying about tomorrow.
Thank you. Yes.
Right. And I get that. And I'll add the other layer in. A draft pick, there's never been a surefire can't miss except for LeBron James we've seen.
But even in that draft, Darko Milicic was like, yo, this is also the guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
well, it's a great draft. I mean, the top five is like four superstars and Darko Milicic. It stands out like
that's so tough.
Just a really, I mean, it's like it's Carmelo, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James with
Darko.
And then Darko. But here's the point that I would make.
Yeah.
It's that we're still waiting in year three to know what Keegan is. The Warriors are still waiting to know what Kuminga is. They're still waiting to know what Moody is. They know that James Wiseman was no good. His second pick mm-hmm. in the draft, gone, right? So draft picks, not only do you have, are they just a coin flip, mm-hmm. complete coin flip when it comes down to it,
mm-hmm.
but on top of that, you may not know what a 2027 draft pick is really as a player mm-hmm. until 2030. That's like, it's the really tough reality of the situation. I mean, the Kings, like, God bless Davion Mitchell, number 9 pick in the draft. He's no longer with the team because, like, in all honesty,
and he's struggling in Toronto.
He wasn't good enough to play their style of basketball, and he's on to a different team.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you can hold on to these things so tightly and think that you've got something, but at the end of the day, you might have nothing. Mm-hmm. Even a top pick, you might have nothing. Like, yeah. They're so... Markelle Fultz was the top pick in the... Number one pick in the draft.
And was supposed to be that dude.
In a great draft.
In a that very draft, good draft.
That draft from top to bottom has, like...
And that's not hindsight. That was that year. It was like, dude, the top, like, 12 guys in this draft are going
to
be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get to Fox at 5, but then it's, like, Jonathan Isaac followed by Lauri Markkanen. Then there's a couple of misses. There's, sure. There's, not, like, yeah. your... what was it? Dennis Smith and... Frank
Ntilikina?
Yeah, yeah.
Frankie Smokes?
Yeah, and then, you know, even Zach Collins at number 10, not great. But you start getting to 11, you're looking at Malik Mook, you're looking at Donovan
John
Mitchell.
Collins is in there, we talked about that yesterday.
Bam Adebayo, OG Anunoby, Kyle Kuzma.
Man.
I mean, that draft filled up the league with very high-end role players and a couple of all-stars. Yeah, so...
I should say, though... It's a little bit different because 3 years ago, Steph Curry was 33.
Yeah.
And it was really clear, like, that aging happens quickly. The Kings are in a spot where their top guys are entering their primes. Where in 3 years, assuming those guys are still around, you're probably not seeing the drop-off that Golden State's off from Draymond and Steph and Clay.
But in 3 years, you're still looking at a 30-year-old De'Aaron Fox and a 31, 32-year-old Domantas Sabonis. So, and then, again, if you're trading in 2027, on top of that, you might not know who that player is for another 3 years on top of that. Mm-hmm. So now you're looking at a 33, 34-year-old Domantas Sabonis, 33-year-old De'Aaron Fox, and you hope that they're able to continue on whatever you're building. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there is no guarantee. It's just
crazy how fast things change in the NBA.
Yeah.
That was the big takeaway for me. All that said, I'd still trade the picks.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be cautious, right? And you also have to look out in front of you and you know, do your advanced research on what these drafts can look like. Because just because we're 3 years away from a draft doesn't mean that everyone doesn't know who the top players are in that draft. I mean, everyone knows, like, the Boozer twins are coming.
Yeah.
Not this season, but next season.
You would probably be alarmed at how much NBA teams know about, like, sixth graders.
It's weird. Yeah. At least the good teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. The good teams.
They're scouting AAU.
Yeah.
From, I mean, but well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing in, like, European soccer.
Oh, that's even worse.
You've got kids entering programs at age 8.
Yeah, I think Messi signed, well, Ronaldo signed with his club when he was like 6.
Come on.
And Messi's like 5 or 6. Like Marcus Rashford for Man U has been in the program, I think, either 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not, NBA teams aren't just now going, all right, let's see who's in the college ranks. Like, nah, man. The guys in college now, they've been watching for 5 years.
Oh yeah,
they've been knowing.
No, it's what's coming. So that's why looking at like the 2027 draft, like the Kings should already have an outline of okay, how valuable is that draft?
I think that's part of why you see teams looking for 2031 picks.
Oh yeah,
like
well, that and they also are projecting like who their team is going to be then and how bad a team is going to be. So again, you know, we're talking about 7 years. We're talking at a point where, you know, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox won't be the same players if they're still on the team.
Yeah.
You know, Keegan Murray will be like a 31, 32-year-old. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where we're talking about.
Man.
That's a long time from now. And that's why a team like San Antonio is looking at that and saying, okay, well, we know that our 20-year-old superstar is going to be 27 then.
Right. Yeah.
And now we have more, you know, to add to what we're building if they can keep him and all that stuff.
They can't keep getting away with this, to quote Jesse Pinkman.
Oh.
Ridiculous. Slow start last night bother you at all?
I mean, sure. I don't know.
I just don't want complacency to set in because like I said, if Golden State is any team in the top 10 in the West and the Kings play like they did to start that game last night, I don't think they win.
Okay, maybe. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I also think like this team has an ability to like crank it up in a different way.
Sure.
And they're always in games. So, I mean, even, you know, the game that ends up being the end of, you know, Mike Brown's run here in Sacramento, I mean, they lost on a foul on a 3-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like the game was still there. They had all of those games. So what we talked about,
weren't they up like 17 in that one though?
Maybe. I mean, that game seems like it's 5 months ago. But at that point, they're 3-11 in games decided by 5 points or less. And that might have even made them 3-12. I don't know what the number was, but it was adding on to what was already bad that was happening.
Yeah.
And so when I look at that, they need to figure out how to win games no matter what.
And
that's who they are. And so, yeah,
I'm hoping complacency isn't setting in.
No, I'm
where
with
all
you.
Of a sudden, night in and night out, they're having to, because that's just not a way that's conducive to winning a lot of basketball games.
No, but I think you can also look at their team and go, they're not firing on all cylinders right now, and they keep winning.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Like, it's very there's true. A huge, like...
They've raised their floor significantly over the last month.
Yeah, totally. And I would also say, like, there's got to be, like, we're not going to, like, hit the red button and sound the alarm, but there has to be at least some concern about De'Aaron Fox's numbers over the last 4 or 5 games and just like his play and what's happening on the court. I think defensively he was incredible, but all of the other things that go into winning basketball weren't really there last night. And you're sitting there watching there's a lack of like force and energy there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he doesn't look like a player who wants to go to the basket. After taking the big spill against Memphis.
Maybe I'm alarmist here. He looks like his gait is weird.
He looks like he's hurt.
He looks like he's walking like it hurts.
Yeah.
So we'll see. One thing I will say about the slow start last night. DeMar DeRozan 4 points on 2 of 5. He had a board, an assist, a steal, and a block. Malik Monk 4 assists, 2 points, but those were at the free throw line. He went 0 for 4. De'Aaron was 1 for 3, 2 points, no other stats. Keegan 5 points, 1 of 3 from 3, a rebound. And then there's Domas, 7 points, 5 boards on 3 of 4.
He's just such a workhorse.
Can we follow my guy here? Can everybody get on board and follow him?
It's just weird.
Everybody looked like they could. That was the last place they wanted to be, and there's Domas. Like, it's game 7 in the finals.
Yeah, ripping down every rebound. He's up to 14.2 rebounds per game.
Oh, it was so funny.
He drills his first 2 threes. He's at 48.5% from 3.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
Yeah. Heck of a player. All right. That was a heck of a first segment. We got to step aside for a moment. We'll look ahead to tonight's game. Not the Warriors here at Golden 1 Center. The Nuggets and the Kings are at Ball Arena?
Something like that. Yeah.
I think that's right.
I think it is Ball. Yeah. It used to be the Pepsi.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I think it's Ball Arena out in Denver. We'll look ahead to that game and more Kings trade reports.
Yeah.
That we'll get to.
Something like that.
I think. We'll talk about it. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And this is ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. I don't know why I always say that, because we have a thing where the voice guy says it. And here he is. Nuggets tonight in Denver. James Hams there. I'm Kyle Mads, and we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Kings looking to make it 4 consecutive wins. I'll tell you what, man. If Sacramento wins tonight, it would be the win of the year. And I say this with all due respect to the 2 wins at home against the Rockets. Awesome wins. The one in Boston, obviously an outstanding win, but second night of a back-to-back where you had to play big minutes in a close game the night before, then going to Denver where it's notoriously difficult to play, plus all the factors that you have discussed, late flight, hour drive to the hotel, you're not getting to bed until 4:30 in the morning, then you got to get up and you got to go play a game at altitude against Nikola Jokic, who might win the MVP, and a Nuggets team that's playing really well right now. A Nuggets team that's trying, by the way. They are not in a spot that they can just give up games. Like, that's why Boston, really good win for the Kings, but also, like, that wasn't the best version of Boston we've ever seen. You're going to get the Nuggets' best shot tonight. And if you go into Ball Arena, that's just what I'm calling it, whether that's the name or not.
It is.
You're going into Ball Arena. That is insane to me that a mason jar mogul.
Well, not a mason jar. That's Mason. Ball is a different brand of glass jar.
Right. That's a, okay. But okay. But when you see a, but if I say, if I Google mason jar, Ball mason jars are going to come up.
Okay.
Is that not right? Is that wrong?
No, Mason is a brand of jar.
I'm Googling mason jar right now. I'm sorry, everybody. We're getting sidetracked.
We're getting sidetracked.
But mason jar. Look, mason jar. First thing that comes up, Ball mason jar.
Oh, okay.
I guess canning jars, 16-ounce Ball mason jars.
It's a canning jar.
It literally says Ball and then Mason underneath.
Maybe
it.
Ball and Mason are the same company. Maybe
you can
they
get Mason's balls in a jar, according to the internet.
Is that Plumlee?
Or Frank. That's TBD. That's a, it's the same thing. Anyways, I'm glad we've sorted that out. That was very important to the people that want to hear about the Kings and Nuggets.
We've lost our way. It's fine.
The Nuggets playing in Ball Arena is kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's a little bit funny if you're 12 years old. Anyways, back to this. That's why I think it'd be the best win of the year, because you're going to get a good team's best shot. You're on the second night of a back-to-back. You're in a notoriously difficult place to play. If you can go get a W tonight, it would be the best win of the year for me.
Okay, so...
And you're avenging a really brutal loss to them at home earlier this year when DeMar DeRozan dropped the dime from Sabonis.
Oh, that's true. That's
anyways,
true.
Go on. Sorry.
My goodness. That loss, and then you partnered that with the Detroit Pistons loss. Where would the Kings be in the standings if it wasn't for those two?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, because
two spots higher, probably
things would be very different. You would have a different head coach still, most likely. Lots of things would be different. Like if I go back to the 2022-23 season, this is a type of game where the Kings would shock you and win. And it was always, you know, they struggled early in the season on the second night of a back-to-back, right? They started like 0-4, 0-5 on the season, mm-hmm. on the second night of a back-to-back. But then as we got deeper and deeper into the season, they started picking up wins where you did not think they had any chance to win. And that was a sign of resiliency. It was a sign of other teams overlooking them. And it's something you need to get back to. And so far, that's what we're seeing from Doug Christie. You know, again, outside of the loss to the Lakers, the only other loss they have is in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
on the back end of a road trip without Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, they've won every other game. I mean, they're 10-2 under Doug Christie. And that first game, like, everything happened hours before the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is a team that's showing you something. And so I agree with you. This is a moment where it could be one of the signature win, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a signature win if you go in and lose to the Knicks by 40 the next night, 2 nights later, or if you drop another game to the Nets like you did earlier in the season. It has to be a series of victories. And I kind of feel like that's where this team is, but they still have to show it. They still have to, you know, I think Doug Christie has every game way up high on the chalkboard. I don't know how, if there's a step ladder, or however he gets up there, or if he's
6'6", 7",
no,
whatever he is.
It's super high. It's above like a 90-inch television, way above that. There's this little section of whiteboard up there,
mm.
and Doug Christie has been writing phrases up there, and even last night it was MEB, which everyone's like, okay, what does that mean? And I think it stood for make 'em believe.
I think it stands for Mike Effing Brown.
Oh yeah, I saw you post that. Yeah, but it's one of those things where you're trying to build this different culture, and it's the us against the world mentality that Doug is bringing.
Yeah,
and you hope that it carries over, and you hope that, you know, on a 6-game road trip, you know, 4-2 isn't out of the realm of possibility. 3-3 is sitting there for you. What you don't want is 1-5 or 2-4.
No doubt.
Like, just go in there and battle. But I think at this point, every game the Kings walk into, I think a lot of us are starting to think, well, they could win this game. Like, yeah. I don't think there's any game yet. The one game that we thought, oh, there's no way you're going to beat Boston, they went in there and thrashed them. And so now you're like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is more like the 2022-23 team where you really felt like every single night the Kings had a very, very good chance to win.
Yeah, I think you can separate that from this would be a really great win to go get.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also think if they just go play well, I don't care if you lose by one. For me, if you're just looking for just a continued upward trajectory, I don't think that means you need to win every single night. Obviously, you'd like to win every game. Obviously, they're going to try to win every game. But if you go in tonight and you lose because Nikola Jokic hits a 30-foot three at the buzzer, to me, it's not like, oh, man, what a terrible loss.
Well, I think,
If you go hang with Denver in this spot, I'm in.
Okay.
Like, that's all I need to see. A win would be great. And that's why I'm going into tonight going, can they win 1,000%? Will they? I don't think I'd bet on them to win. But if you do, man, you're looking at win of the year.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at tonight. And if you lose by a couple, just don't get mollywop. Don't go throw your jerseys on the court and be like, okay, well, this is a schedule loss. We're not going to win this one. I don't think they will. I don't think that's their mindset.
I'm okay if they get to the mid-third quarter and you just see the legs, you know, go away.
Yeah, sure.
I'm okay if I see that. And then if that is the case, like, I need to see Kevin Huerter step up. I need to see Trey Lyles step up and try to give the team a lift. Mm-hmm. Keon Ellis off the bench, Devin Carter off the bench. I need to see those guys step up and make a difference in that moment and give your team a fighting shot to recover and come back into the fourth quarter and give yourself one more chance to win a game.
This cannot be one of those. This cannot be like last night where you get 6.5 minutes of Alex Len, 6-ish minutes of Kevin Huerter, and 3.5 minutes of Devin Carter.
No.
You need more than that. And if Kevin Herter's hitting shots, he'll be on the court. If Devin Carter comes in, hits a couple shots, gets a couple steals, plays good defense, he'll stay on the court. Anything he can do to relieve some of the pressure on guys who played 37 plus minutes last night, which is 4 of the 5 starters. You need it. You certainly need it tonight. DeMar played 39 minutes last night.
Whew.
That's tough.
Go for the win, man.
Starters tonight, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis for Sacramento. For the Nuggets, no Aaron Gordon in the starting lineup since he's come back from an injury?
No.
So it looks like it'll be Jamal Murray playing alongside Russell Westbrook, who's found a nice little role in Denver. Christian Brown, Michael Porter Jr., and Nikola Jokic, the starting five for Denver. It looks like Denver's mostly healthy. The Kings still no injuries to report. Daron Holmes tore his Achilles. He is obviously out. Vlatko Konkar is also out with a knee injury. Konkar.
I think you're right.
I concur.
Okay.
And then matchup of the game is an easy one.
Oh, yeah.
Two of the best centers in the league going at it.
What are you talking about? The best centers. It's the number one versus number two three-point shooter in the league.
Okay.
Domantas Sabonis, number one. Nikola Jokic is number two. And three-point percentage.
Two of the great perimeter players we have, Domantas Sabonis and Nikola Jokic.
The best two shooters in the game. Tonight.
Yeah, man. Now, anytime these guys go up against each other, it's just they guard each other well. They're both so skilled. It's if you like good basketball, watching those two match up is fun. And that's an easy matchup of the game. It's going to be every time they play.
Yep.
Everybody makes a big deal about the Jokic-Embiid thing because they were in the MVP conversation a couple years ago. But Sabonis is the one who actually plays against Jokic every time they match up. So
that's right.
Salute to Domas. Salute to Nikola Jokic. Two of the very best point centers in the game. I can't wait to watch them go at it in Denver. All right. James is there. James is there. I'm Kyle. Kings opening a brutal 6-game road trip tonight in Denver. You also got the Knicks, you get the Timberwolves, you got the Thunder, and I think the Sixers and Nets are sprinkled in there
in
as
the
well.
Middle.
That's a tough 6-game trip. It begins tonight. We'll have keys to victory for the Kings over the Nuggets for you coming up here in a bit on ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader. Of course it is. I want to do Kings trade stuff.
Okay.
And Mark Stein in his Substack.
Mm-hmm.
In his Substack, had some reporting that pushed back on your reporting, R.E. Cam Johnson.
Sort of pushback, but yeah, go ahead.
So, we can go through all that. What does it mean for the Kings? What did he report? You know, what's real, what's not? We can go through all that. My question is, when and where are we going to beat the crap out of Mark Stein for this? I'm ready to throw hands.
I'm not flying to Dallas. Well, we'll get an opportunity if we go to All-Star Weekend in a couple of...
Yeah, we'll see you at All-Star Weekend, Mark.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm joking. Mark Stein does a great job at his Substack. Go subscribe while you're subscribing to the Kings Beat at thekingsbeat.com. Okay, go ahead, James.
Yeah, so I don't actually, like, whatever Mark said yesterday, we can go through it right now. This is from Mark Stein. The Sacramento Kings have been frequently mentioned this month as an aggressive trade suitor for the Nets sharpshooter Cam Johnson. But league sources told the Stein line on Wednesday that there have been no discussions between the Kings and Nets regarding Johnson for weeks. Sort of say that the Kings at this juncture do not see a pathway to a workable Johnson deal with the Nets. There's obviously still time for that to change with 2 weeks left. Okay, so look, whether it's today, whether it's the last week, whether it's 3 weeks ago, it doesn't matter. The Kings and Nets have exactly what I've said. They understand what the other one wants.
Okay.
And they have a very clear image of what they're willing to go, what they're willing to give up, and what they're not. And it's the same thing. They had negotiations before the Dorian Finney-Smith trade with the Nets about Finney-Smith, from what I know. And they've had conversations about Cam Johnson with that team multiple times. Like, whether it happened 3 days ago, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But whether it happened 3 weeks ago, it's still, they both know exactly what the other one wants in a trade. And so they have an impasse, and that's why there has not been a trade,
right?
Which is exactly what I said. There's like,
and at some point, discussions are going to stop when you reach that point of, this is, if you're the Nets, like, this is our floor for Cam Johnson.
Yep.
And the Kings go, well, this is our ceiling for Cam Johnson. And if those two things don't match up, there's no need to stay on the horn trying to talk one another off this.
Of course. Right. Of course. And, like, again, we're talking about, from what I know, draft compensation. And the Kings aren't willing to go where they want to go. And so the Kings have said, hey, like, is there not a pathway forward? Okay, maybe there's not a pathway forward today. But the NBA, everything changes from one day to the next. I mean, 12 games ago, the Kings had a different head coach and were five games under 500. Like, the world comes at you fast in the NBA. And for me, like, look, it's still the same exact story that it has been with the Nets. The Kings and Nets cannot come to a common ground. If there was a common ground, it would have happened a month ago. Because that's when it was, like, super hot and heavy.
Yeah.
Like, this could happen anytime. And then all of a sudden, like, got super quiet. Like, whether they've talked in the last week or not, I don't know. And, like, whether Evan Siddery's report that there's a plan A and a plan B, like, I don't know. I haven't been told that there's a plan A and a plan B.
You'd hope, honestly, you'd hope there is, and maybe a plan C and a plan D and a plan E.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So when we write about the potential for Cam Johnson to come to Sacramento, it's because there are reports out there, and, like, I have knowledge that they have had conversations multiple times about this specific player. Like, the fact whether, again, they've talked in the last couple of weeks or not, we can have some conversations on what that means and what that doesn't mean.
Sure. Like, that's semantics.
Yeah, it is semantics.
My favorite idea here is the Kings not having a plan B. And Monty and Wes going, all right, well, couldn't come to an agreement with the Nets. Okay, thanks, Nets. All right, we'll see you. All right, we're done.
Oh, man. All of our hopes and dreams.
Plan A went down the drain. Now
all
what do
of
we
our
do?
Hopes and dreams. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, like, sort of the last thing that Stein says on this, word is that Sacramento is actively engaged with other teams on separate trade concepts. Yes. I mean, that's why
concepts of a plan,
why you hear a John Collins, name come up. It's why you hear Kyle Kuzma's name come up. It's why, The Kings have been attached to different people. It's why the betting lines on certain players landing in Sacramento are higher than others, because there are conversations that happen all the time. And I fully expect them to have conversations. And like, look, there could very well be a deal that none of us have seen that or thought of, like conceptualized, that all of a sudden happens. And you're like, where did that come from?
Right.
I mean, that's a Sabonis deal. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Like, we're sitting here watching, we're Ben Simmons watch. Like, what's going to happen? Like, all this stuff. Are they going to give up Fox? Are they not going to give up Fox? Is Harrison Barnes going there? And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boom, Domantas Sabonis, Sacramento Kings. We had heard rumor of it like 4 months earlier.
Right.
But it had really gone dormant. So that's where it's like a lot of this is the same thing.
And to that point, that could happen with Cam Johnson.
Yeah.
Maybe the Nets are like, hey, we need a one, but maybe they get to February 6th at 11:58 a.m. Pacific time, 2 minutes before the deadline, and then they go, all right, well, nobody's even offering a first, so we'll call the Kings and see if they'll do top X protected.
Yeah.
And the Kings go, great, done.
Yeah. Well, that and, like, the Kings are very limited in what they can offer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, they can do unprotected picks. They, you know, the initial conversations, from what I had heard, was that Brooklyn was looking for 2 first-round picks. Maybe that's still the case, but we talked a little bit about this, you know, yesterday about the report that came out. I think it was 2 nights ago. Where, you know, at one point the Wizards were looking for 2 first-round picks for Kyle Kuzma. And then last season they were looking for a first-round pick for Kyle Kuzma. And now right now where you sit, they'll be lucky to get a second-round pick for Kyle Kuzma. They'll be lucky to get it.
Yeah.
And get out from underneath the contract. And that's because Kyle Kuzma has not played all that well. But, hey, don't cross him off your list. There's always a possibility the Kings go back one more time to the Kyle Kuzma experience. And because he's clearly at a point where he would like to start somewhere new. And
we didn't even talk about the dap with Vivek at midcourt the other day.
Well, if you're going to go dap up
Sunday,
if you're going to go dap up an owner and show everybody 17,000 fans plus cameras that you're going to go dap up an owner, you probably shouldn't go 3 of 15, fall down like 4 times in the middle of the court and turn the ball over 4 times.
Yeah, you got to play better.
Well, I mean, that's
the
problem.
And after the game, he was like, no, it's non-basketball stuff, like da-da-da-da. If you were going to do that,
yeah.
If I was Damian Barling, D'Lo, D'Lo and Casey, coming up at noon. I love the idea that somebody's listening to this program and doesn't know who D'Lo and Casey are. D'Lo and Casey, the homies, right?
Yeah.
That's like, if I was going to come in here, if I didn't work here, and I just wanted to say hi to D'Lo and KC.
Mm-hmm.
If I was trying to make a show of the fact that I'm in Sacramento, I would come in here during their show. I'd dap them up on their show. I'd say, hey, you know, all right, I got to go. You could easily just wait in the hallway, wait underneath the arena, or in this case, outside of the studio.
Yeah.
And say hi to him. Be like, hey, guys, just really wanted to say hi. Good to see you. We have this great relationship. Hey, what's up? When you make a show of it, like you said, in front of cameras, in front of 17,000 people, in front of media, both Wizards and Kings media, you're doing that on purpose.
Well, of course. And just like, they're so close that he turned down the Sacramento Kings 2 summers ago and decided to go back to Washington,
right,
where he knew the team was going to be bad, and chose to go and play there.
Right.
And
was a, I hate doing this, did I make up in my brain that there was a rumor or on draft night they were like really close to acquiring Kyle Kuzma?
There's always a rumor that they're really close to acquiring. I mean, they had him.
Was that not a thing? Like on draft night, there was like,
there were rumors around draft day.
Reports all around that
that they might have been back into conversations with the Wizards for Kyle Kuzma. But again, go back to, like, they had Buddy Hield traded to the Lakers for Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell. Like, it was a done deal.
Man.
And the Wizards.
Man, what a
swept
sliding
in
doors moment.
And brought Russell Westbrook to the Lakers. That like, literally, the deal was done.
I forgot Russell Westbrook played for the Wizards.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then he played for the Lakers, and Buddy Hield was later traded to, well, I don't even remember where Buddy was traded to. Oh, Indiana.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. But again, that was like a moment in time where, like, Kyle Kuzma has been attached to the Kings forever. But look, not everybody in the Kings organization, from what I know, likes the idea of Kyle Kuzma.
Sure.
The players, like I've heard, do like the idea of Kyle Kuzma, or at least there's enough players in there that like Kyle Kuzma. And we're like, yeah, we would take Kyle. That's fine. But there's also people that are like, the analytics on this dude are awful.
Right.
Awful.
Right.
So why would we, why are we going to get a super inefficient player? And then he shows up and looks exactly like.
Right. Which matters. Super which matters.
Oh, yeah.
Comes into your arena. If you're the front office and you've got different people in the front office, maybe you're split 50-50.
Yeah.
And he comes out and plays the game he played on Sunday. That 50-50 yes-no is more like 80-20 no-yes.
Yeah.
That stuff matters.
It's like if you were to, like, for Christmas, buy your kid a car, and you walk outside, everyone's all excited, and, like, all the tires are flat, and the car doesn't turn over, and you're like, hey, thanks, Dad. I mean, that because that's where I think a lot of Kings fans are at this point, like, looking at Kuzma, like, has anyone else looked at his numbers? Has anyone else watched him play?
Yeah.
Now we got to see him play the one time a year we get to see him in Sacramento, and it was like, oh, yeah.
3 years, a long time. He won a championship 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, that and I'll just say it right, like super clear. We all watch Kyle Kuzma on a bad losing team, and everyone can say, oh, well, he's playing for the Washington Wizards. You know who else plays for the Washington Wizards? Jonas Valanciunas, and he busted your ass up.
Yep.
That's false. What you look like if you want to step out on the court and like, be part of something and show people that, you know, like, that you want to be part of a different organization. Hey, get me out of here. You go out there and put up 23 and grab 11 rebounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jordan Poole's trying too. Having a heck of a year.
Nope.
You know who else is having a heck of a year right now? Me with Underdog. Because it turns out my lineup from over the weekend that I thought I lost, turns out Chris Boucher did not get his rebounds because he got hurt. So he got removed from my lineup. So I just got my money back. So I won last night, despite what Securin DeBagley or whatever his name is now was trying to tell people in the Discord, the ESPN 1320 Discord, that I had lost. False. I had not. I did have DeMar DeRozan making lower than half a three-pointer because I thought he wouldn't need to shoot a lot of threes last night. He made three of them. That's fine. But because of the flex option on Underdog, which is daily fantasy, their pick 'em game, it's super easy. You pick higher or lower on at least two player stats. You can win up to 100,000 times your entry. It's that easy. So I had DeMar DeRozan lower than half a made three. He made three. That's fine. But because of the flex option, I can get one wrong in my lineup and still win. And so that's exactly what I did. Stephen Curry lower than 37.5 points, rebounds, assists. Easy work. He had 29. Malik Monk higher than 27.5 points, rebounds, assists. Easy work. He had 33. Domantas Sabonis higher than 18.5 points. That's light work. He had 26. I got 3 out of 4. I got my money back and then some. I've won two lineups in a row, and I'd love for you to play along with me on the Underdog app. Download it today. Sign up with the code KYLEM and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That is promo code KYLEM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. I might have a lineup for you later. We'll see. I don't know. What we do have for you is more Kings Nuggets talk. We'll revisit our keys to victory from last night. Plenty more basketball, plenty more coming up in the second hour right here on ESPN 1320. That's James and Kyle, and I'm not going to say the rest because the voice guys got us.